Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Well, it's the third hour of a Monday afternoon. I'm glad to have you with me. And I tell you what, when you got so much to talk about, time flies. You are listening to the Voice of Pittsburgh, KDKA Radio. I'm Lynn Heath Freeland. And lots of new information out today about who's getting vaccinated, who's not, male, female, urban, suburban, rural, black, white, Hispanic. We're going to break all that down a little bit later in the show. But right now, please welcome to the conversation my guest, Monica Ruiz. She is the executive director of Casa San Jose right here in the Pittsburgh area. And, well, let me just first say welcome back, Monica.
Thanks for having me again.
Thanks, and I appreciate always your willingness to come on the show and talk. And I wanted to address today, you know, we've talked over the last couple months about, you know, mass vaccines, people coming in, taking the vaccines to different communities that might be somewhat disconnected and or disenfranchised, but we haven't talked much about your community.
Thanks for having me so we could talk a little bit more about it.
So how's it going? Let's start there. How's it going?
Well, unfortunately, from the very beginning, there wasn't very much information given out to our community. Everything that was produced here locally was produced in English. There was nothing produced in any other languages. And so Casa San Jose had to really take on the role of local government to make sure that we got as much information about COVID out to our community. And then it really showed how unfortunate it was, because then most people were not taking it seriously and a lot of people were getting COVID. And then now the effects of that is that, you know, now there's a vaccine that some people know nothing about and are extremely hesitant to get.
So from what you've been able to ascertain, that hesitancy is directly connected to just lack of information, or primarily lack of information, I should say, not just.
Primarily lack of information. And so what is happening then is that people don't know where to get the vaccine. They don't know if it's safe. A lot of folks are coming from that, you know, are originally from countries that don't even have the vaccine available in those countries. And then a lot of times these mass vaccination clinics are held further out where there's no public transportation. And once someone, so people can't register for the vaccine clinics because it's not, it's only done in English. So if someone were to come across the information to register, they couldn't actually register. The other thing is that, you know, they're very far away. And so it's difficult to get there. And then the third problem is that they don't have anyone there that speaks any other languages. So if there's any questions or problems, they can't be addressed because there's no support.
So how are the distributors, and I guess that could be anything from the hospitals to the pharmacies to community organizations, how are they responding to that? Because I got to tell you that, A, you take just the fear that exists about the coronavirus, about COVID-19, and then you add in the lack of information, and then you roll in going somewhere to get a vaccine that you're not really sure about anyway, and now there's no one there who speaks your language who can calm those fears. That does not, to me, that is not a recipe for a successful outcome.
And then the fear of people thinking they're going to get deported because they're getting the vaccine.
Oh, so if you fill out that information, now they got you on record somewhere.
Correct. Correct. Since the vast majority of people don't qualify for any public benefits, you know, they think that if they get this free vaccine, that they will be deported.
That's actually very sad that people are making health decisions based on that. But I guess that's actually probably more common than people realize.
Correct. Correct.
So then when we talk about this goal of herd immunity, which I hear today we may or may not ever get to, your community, your community, but not just in Pittsburgh, but across the country, because, well, let me back up. Are these common issues in other parts of the country as well? Do you know?
Absolutely, they are. And the other thing is that, you know, COVID has hit Latinos and African-American communities much harder than it's hit our white neighbors.
Well, see, that's the other part of the discussion that I feel like when we first entered this pandemic and we first started to talk about it, we did talk about the fact that black and brown people were being affected more than others, and there were all these comorbidities and lack of access to health care, and we've got to do better, and all of these things. But now nobody's talking about any of those things anymore. It's kind of frustrating.
It is extremely frustrating. And then you factor in the fact that many of these communities don't trust medical professionals. And for good reason. And so, you know, a lot more work needs to be done to gain the trust of these communities, to have access for this vaccine, not just like at large sites, but in communities where people live. We need to have more mobile clinics. Just like we used to have the mobile clinics that were doing the testing for COVID, we should have something like that that distributes the vaccine.
Now, let me back up for that on that note for just a second, because I know that recently I had a conversation for my TV show with the Black Equity Coalition. And one of their arguments was because testing was never as accessible in Black communities as it could have been or should have been, that departments and folks who make the decisions about where the vaccine should go and how they should get there were never really on point because they never had the accurate information from testing. So I'm guessing you would have similar concerns.
Exactly the same. Exactly the same. And that's why, you know, these entities that control so much, that say they care about the people that they say they care about, need to be working with community partners in order to make these things happen. They don't have the relationships. They don't have the communications. And in our case, they don't even speak the language. Right now, we're trying to roll out efforts where we're taking mobile vaccine clinics to the farms. The people that are picking your vegetables are not vaccinated.
Wow, wait a minute. We got to come back to that. You have a few more minutes, yes, that you can hang with us?
I do.
All right, perfect, yeah. All right, good, because I want to talk about that, because I just saw some statistics on rural versus urban vaccination rates, and it sounds like that fits right in that conversation. We'll do that in just a second. My guest is Monica Ruiz. She is the executive director of Casa San Jose. We're talking about accessing the vaccine in not so likely communities. That's the only way I can describe it. And it's been an ongoing issue in Black and brown communities. I want to say there was a study that came out today that said in terms of the vaccine in the urban area, 13% of folks who live in the urban area say they'll get it when they get around to it. 23% say they will take a wait and see attitude. But the numbers are interesting when you look at rural communities. 7% say whenever I get around to it. 19% say they'll wait and see. And before the break, Monica, you mentioned that getting them out to farming areas, farmers, is a bigger challenge. How could that be? How does that happen? Are they just, I don't want to say forgotten communities?
Yeah, I mean, again, if we are having a hard time getting things in, you know, different languages here in the city of Pittsburgh, just imagine what it's out like in Lawrence County and all these other areas where it's a lot, there's a lot of farms there. And a lot of these people live on the farms that they work in, and so they don't really have contact with a lot of people outside of that area. except, you know, for the other people that live on the farm and or sometimes in the store where the vegetables and fruits are sold. And so, you know, it's the fact that, you know, a lot more outreach needs to be done. Like, I'm not a rocket scientist. Like, I'm pretty bright, but why did, you know, we have to think about, you know, getting some mobile units out into these farms.
Wow. And I think the other thing, and I mentioned earlier that the Black Equity Coalition was concerned because they weren't at the table when these decisions were being made. They weren't at the table when it was being decided how some of this was going to roll out. I'm going to guess, and you tell me if I'm right or wrong, Monica, if the Black Equity Coalition wasn't invited to the table, you guys weren't invited to the table either.
We absolutely were not. We were not. We were completely left out.
So how does that happen in 2021 for both of these communities? I guess that's kind of rhetorical, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's priorities. Now we know what we always knew, where their priorities lie. And although that there are times that they do take time to say that they are committed to equity for Black and brown communities, well, in the face of a pandemic, we see who was taken care of and who wasn't.
Right. So what do we do going forward? We need more education. We need more accessibility. We need more shots. I mean, that's the other issue. There are like shots out here that, from everything I'm hearing, are not even being used. And you've got arms out here that need the shots. What can we, the community at large, do to bridge that gap?
I mean, you know, if you know anyone who might, where English is their second language, please have them call our office at 412-343-3111, and we can get them vaccinated. You know, if you or just give the person, you know, that number that doesn't speak English. And then also, like, what I'm telling you, you didn't know, and what I'm hoping that people that are listening are listening to something they didn't know, but tell someone. Like, we need to bring more light to this subject because, you know, I don't plan on there being another COVID pandemic anytime soon, but in the future, something else will happen. And I don't want the communities that were left out this time for that to happen to them again.
And I'm sorry, give us that number again. 412.
343-3111.
And I'm guessing that you have translators available if need be.
We do.
I was going to say, wait, I think I called that number today, and I think it actually starts in Spanish, does it not?
Imagine that.
Yeah, I think it actually... Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks so much. And hey, do me a favor. Keep us posted. Let us know what's going on. Let us know how we can help. You know, when this pandemic started, we were all saying we're all in this together. And then somewhere along the line, we weren't in it together anymore. We need to all be in this together again.
Yeah, some people were on yachts and others were with life vests.
Yeah,
exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. But we appreciate you and all that you do. And let us know how we can help. We're here. You got a voice
Thank
here,
you.
So use it. Thanks so much, Monica Ruiz.
Mm-hmm. You too. Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Me too.
So, yeah, I think that's something, you know, once this pandemic is completely over, and I don't know when that's going to be. I don't know what that's going to look like. In fact, I'll talk about this in just a few minutes. You know, there are now new questions about whether or not we will ever reach herd immunity because there are so many people who don't want the vaccine. But at some point, when you go through something of this magnitude, you have to step back. You have to look back and say, this is what we did right. This is what we did wrong. And this is what we need to do differently. And I think that representatives of Black and brown communities from everyone that I've spoken to, and Monica Ruiz just now from Casa San Jose confirmed what I suspected. There was not enough diversity at those tables deciding, you know, these are going to be the priorities in this state. This is how we're going to roll it out in this state. These are who our co-partners are going to be. We're going to use churches or community senators or whomever we're going to use. Saturday, we did a show on Minority Health Matters, which will be posted online tomorrow, that looks specifically at vaccine hesitancy in the Black community and the need to have Black doctors and Black nurses involved in distributing the vaccine so that some of those questions people have can be answered. That's exactly what we're talking about here. But if you don't have people who speak the language, they're not going to be able to answer, ask or answer your question.